For our scripture reading this evening, turn in your Bibles to the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 13. We begin to read at verse 17 and read through chapter 14, verse 10. Numbers 13, verse 17. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, Get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many. And what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be, that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds. And what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. And be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up, and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men come to Hamath. And they ascended to the south, and came unto Hebron, where Ahimah, Sheshai, and Talmai, the children of Anak, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came unto the brook Eshcol, and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff. And they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. And the place was called the brook Eshcol, because of the clusters of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the children of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. Thus far we read God's holy word. The text which we consider this afternoon is found in chapter 14, verse 24. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Beloved of the Lord, there are hundreds of thousands, yea, millions of people who profess to be Christians. Many of them hardly ever attend a worship service, but they nevertheless profess that they are Christians. If you would ask just about anyone on the street whether or not they believed in God, most would answer, yes, they do believe in some sort of a God. They might not know very much about that God, but they nevertheless believe that there is a God up there somewhere. We ought to realize that most of these people are not true Christians. Many of them are only going through the motions of Christianity, but there is nothing in their hearts. They reveal their true character to us by what they believe, or the lack thereof, and in their practices. They do not follow God. They do not walk in the ways of God. They do not believe the truth of God. Even those who are true Christians do not always follow God the way that they ought. They don't follow Him fully, but rather they are half-hearted in their commitment to God, to Christ, and their cause. Sometimes we are the same way. We profess to be Christians. We seek to follow God and His truth. We say that we love the Lord Jesus Christ. But sometimes we are half-hearted in that endeavor. We do not wholly follow after God. That is because we, like they, can be caught up in the things of this world. We too can get caught up in sin and wickedness. we too can be unfaithful in following God, the God that we profess to love. That's why this text is important for us. This text gives to us a calling. A calling not only to be followers of God, but to follow God 100%. To follow God wholeheartedly. To follow God fully. After all, is not this the implication of the first commandment of God's law? That we are to have God and no other? No other at all? God only as our God? That we might be encouraged to take care that in our lives we wholeheartedly follow God. I want us to consider the example of a great saint of God in the old dispensation, Caleb. Because if there was one thing that the scriptures say about Caleb, it is this. He followed God fully. With that in mind, let us consider this text under the theme, following fully. Notice first of all the meaning, secondly the basis, and thirdly the result. We read in the text, "But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it." To understand this statement, we must realize that this comes in the context of God telling Moses that because of their rebellion and because of their unbelief, all the children of Israel who are 20 years and older are not going to go into the promised land. They are going to die in the wilderness. God, however, makes an exception. There is a man who is above the age of 20 who will go into the land besides Joshua. And that is Caleb. Caleb at this time was 40 years old. He will go into the land. And why will he go into the land? Because he followed God fully. This characterization of Caleb is made over and over again in the scriptures. Let me read a few passages so that you can see this. In Numbers 32, verse 12, we read, "Save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord." Deuteronomy 1 verse 36, "Save Caleb the son of Jephunneh, he shall see it, and to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children, because he hath wholly followed the Lord." In Joshua 14 verse 14, "Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel." This characterization of Caleb is important because, as I pointed out in my introduction, there are many who profess to be Christians who do not follow God fully. In fact, it is interesting to note that the children of Israel who would die in the wilderness, those above the age of 20 who would not be allowed into the land, were not allowed specifically because they did not follow God fully. Numbers 32, verse 11. Surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me. There's one other reference in the scripture to someone who did not fully follow God, and that is Solomon. First Kings 11, verse 6, and Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David, his father. Most of the Israelites who died in the wilderness were unbelievers. Out and out unbelievers. Because we are told that they did not believe. Even though they went through motions, even though they followed God physically, so to speak, they really did not follow God at all spiritually. Solomon, on the other hand, was a true believer. But at the end of his life, because he walked in the ways of sin, he is said to be one who did not fully follow God. Sometimes we are like Solomon. There may be some who are like the children of Israel who don't believe at all and are only going through motions. But even we true believers have times in our lives when we are not very committed to God, His truth, and His way of living. And we show that by our living. We do not always realize how the materialism of this world affects us and how it causes us to forsake some of the ways of God. We don't always realize how our thinking can become humanistic. There is so much humanistic thinking all around us. We do not always realize how secular we can become, where we don't think that much about God or Christ or the things of His kingdom. And because we are used to calling ourselves Christians, sometimes we don't recognize how immoral we are. At least in our thoughts, in our hearts. In fact, we live in a day when the church, as it is manifested in this world, is weak. Very, very weak. And there are many who are half-hearted in following God. That's why it is like a breath of fresh air to see Caleb. His heart was fixed upon God. He wasn't perfect. To follow God fully does not mean that you're sinless. No man is that way. But he had such a love of God that he threw himself into the service of God with all of his might. And that's the way a true believer should be. We should all be like Caleb. A believer is one who follows God. He doesn't follow other people. He doesn't go his own ways. He follows God. God is his God. Isn't that what Jesus says In John 10, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Christ's sheep love his voice. They love him, and when they hear him speak, come, then they follow. The apostle exhorts us in Ephesians 5, verse 1, be ye therefore followers of God. So we even have a command that we are to follow God. We are to go where God leads. We are to go where God goes. But that is not all. The implication of that command is that we follow God completely, not half-heartedly. But we throw ourselves into it. We're zealous. We're sincere. We think about this often. Isn't that the implication of Deuteronomy 6, verse 5? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul. And with all thy might. All your heart. All your might. All your soul. Not just part of it. Or how about Colossians 3, verse 23? And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. You know, that means that when you're mowing the lawn, you're to do it wholeheartedly, as to the Lord. Now, if we're to mow the lawn that way, shouldn't it be that way in our service of God? In our obedience? In our love of Him? We are to do it to our Lord, our Master, our Savior. What does that mean? What does it mean to follow God fully? The best way for us to get an idea of what that means is to look at Caleb. Look at the example that he leaves to us, because what he does is what it means to follow God fully. And there are two passages which reveal to us what Caleb did. First of all, there's chapter 13, verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Excuse me. The 10 spies told the people of Israel that, yes, this was a good land. It was a land that was flowing with milk and honey. But right after they said that, then they went on to say, the cities are great. They're walled up. And the people are great. There are giants in the land. And therefore they said, this land is a land that will eat us up. It will devour us. We are not able to take this land. We are not able to possess it. Thus they stirred up the people against the Lord. They stirred up the people to rebel against the Lord. That was the 10 evil spies. But Caleb, responding to that, stills the people. He seeks to stop this rebellion, to quiet down the people. He exhorts them, we can do it. we are able to take this land. We can overcome this people. Let us go up at once in obedience to God. The next passage is Numbers 14, verses 6 through 9. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Now you have to understand, this second statement comes quite a while after that first statement. That first statement was in response to the very first report of the 10 evil spies. Now, that rebellion has been stirring and growing. The people are talking against Moses and Aaron. They're blaming God. They're blaming Moses and Aaron. They say it would be better for us to go back to Egypt. They were looking for a captain to bring them back to Egypt. They were in full-fledged rebellion. But Joshua and Caleb rent their clothes. They were very upset with what the people were doing. And they reiterated the words of Caleb. This is a good land. God will give it to us. God will help us. These Canaanites are the ones that will not stand. This land will not eat us up. We will eat them up. They are defenseless. But we have the Lord with us. Now, how do we evaluate these two statements of Caleb? First of all, notice that in these statements, Caleb revealed his obedience. In following God fully, he obeyed God. The rest of Israel did not want the promised land. The rest of Israel was ready to throw it all away. They wanted to go back to Egypt. But Caleb said, no. God led us all this way. God is giving us this land. We must obey God and take this land. If we are to follow God fully, then we must be obedient to God. When God says to us, go this way, we go this way. When God says to us, go that way, we go that way. Following God means we keep His commandments. Jesus said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Someone who loves God, who truly loves God, will desire to keep God's commandments. And no, we cannot keep those commandments perfectly. We know that. But that ought to be our desire, our goal. That is what we ought to seek after. That is wholeheartedly following God, recognizing that there is a standard that God has set for us. And we seek to follow that standard. Yea, not only do we seek to follow it, but we love it. We love His Word. We love His law. We love His will. We meditate upon it in that love. and therefore we seek to obey. Is that your desire? When you come to church and you hear the preaching and you hear the exhortations of God's word, do you say in your heart, yes, I want to do that. By God's grace, I'm going to seek to do that. If you have no desire or little desire to obey God, then you're not following God very well. In the second place, let us notice that in these two reactions, Caleb was against the sin of the people of Israel. After the first report, he tried to still the people, keep them from walking in the way of sin. And then when the people rebelled against Moses and Aaron, he rent his clothes, indicating his anguish with what they were doing because he knew it was wrong and he hated that. He was expressing his great grief because they were so treating the God who had redeemed them from the house of bondage and led them through the wilderness. And so we see that someone who follows God fully is against sin. He's against sin in himself, and he's against sin as he sees that in other people. Sometimes it takes us a while to recognize our own sin. But if we are following God the way that we ought to, we do come to that realization. And we hate ourselves for our sin. And it grieves us that we so sin. And we seek to turn ourselves away from it. And when we see that in others, it grieves us. And in a humble way, we try to help them forsake their sin. Do you see that in yourselves? Do you hate sin? When you see it in yourself and in others? In the third place, notice that this obedience of Caleb and this hatred of sin that Caleb had were both in the face of great opposition and anger. Caleb and Joshua were outnumbered by the other spies 2 to 10. At that first reporting, Joshua was not there, so Caleb was all by himself. The one man Caleb had to stand up against the other 10 spies. And when the people were stirred up and in full-fledged rebellion, then Caleb not only had to stand against the 10 evil spies, but he had to stand against the whole congregation. The whole congregation was ready to kill Caleb. Chapter 14, verse 10. And all the congregation bade stone them with stones. They didn't like what Joshua and Caleb had to say. So much so that they were picking up stones and ready to kill these two servants of God. And they would have if it were not for the fact that at that moment the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And that put a stop to all of that activity. If we are to follow God fully, then we must be obedient and stand up against sin. Even when we have to do that against great opposition, and even though it brings us into great danger. It's easy to stand up for the truth and to stand up for righteousness when we are among friends. When we talk among ourselves, it doesn't take much courage to stand up for what's right. But when you're among your enemies, when you're among a group of unbelievers or professing Christians who are not true Christians, then it takes a lot of courage, because you know that if you stand up for what is right, if you stand against the sin that you see, you're going to not only be opposed but even threatened. People will become hostile. Hostile with their words, but even physically hostile. We need to understand this today, because we are more and more living in a world that is out of harmony with the principles of God's Word, the principles that we profess to believe. So that it is not unusual to find ourselves among people who will not like it when we obey God and stand against sin. But that is our calling, if we are to be true followers of God. That brings us to the question, what is it that made Caleb this way? What is it that made him so, even in the face of great opposition and danger, he would obey God and stand against sin? We find the answer in the words, "But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him." Caleb had another spirit with him. That is, a spirit that was different than the spirit of the other Israelites. That's why he fully followed God. His spirit made him fully follow God. So, what kind of a spirit did he have? First of all, let us notice that the children of Israel had a spirit of unbelief. Even after all of this time, after all that God had showed them, all the wonders that God had performed, they did not believe the promise of God that He would bring them into the promised land safely. They did not believe that God would drive out the Canaanites before them. When they heard about the giants, when they heard about the walled cities, when they heard that they were like grasshoppers before the people, they did not believe that they could conquer them. That's clear from Hebrews chapter 3, verse 19. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. They could not enter in because they did not believe. That's all there is to it. Sometimes we don't believe the way that we should. Sometimes we lack faith, or our faith is little. God promises us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. God promises us salvation. God promises us the forgiveness of our sins. God promises us a home in heaven. But do we believe it? When difficulties and hardships come into our lives, do we believe that God is with us and that He is saving us, as He says? When it looks like everything is against us, everything is going the wrong way, when it looks like the wicked are getting the best of us, do we believe that God gives us the victory through Jesus Christ? It's easy to walk by sight and not by faith. I do that. You do that. We look at our circumstances and we say, this is bad. This is bad. That really is unbelief. We know what God has promised. It's right here in His Word. Look at Caleb. His faith was strong. He believed the promises of God. He walked by faith and not by sight. He saw the same things that the 10 evil spies saw. He saw the great walled cities. He saw the giants. He saw that the children of Israel were like grasshoppers in comparison. But that did not make any difference to Caleb. He believed that they would conquer these Canaanites because that's what God said. I have a feeling that if the whole world had been against Caleb, he would have still believed, because it didn't matter to him how great the opposition was. Didn't matter how many of the enemy there were. Didn't matter how big they were. He believed. He believed the Word of God. Listen to his faith. If the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it us. They are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them. The Lord is with us. Can you hear the faith in that statement? If we are to be obedient to God, if we are to stand up against sin, even when we are opposed by others, we need faith. We need faith. We are called to have faith so much that the lack of faith is sin. Romans 14, verse 23, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And it is by means of faith that we stand. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 24, by faith ye stand. And that is why in Hebrews 10 we read, the just shall live by faith. Faith must be an integral part of our life as Christians. We must believe His Word, no matter what. In the second place, let us notice that Israel had no courage. That is clear from the statement of Caleb in chapter 14, verse 9. Neither fear ye the people of this land, fear them not. Caleb had to tell them not to fear because they were afraid. They were shaking in their boots. The thought of these giants, these huge people, terrified them. The only thing they could think of is that they would surely die. These giants would surely kill every last one of them and take their wives and their children as slaves. They were cowards. Before they even fought one battle, they were cowards. They ran like whipped dogs with their tails between their legs. Sometimes we're afraid. Sometimes we're terrified. We run and we hide like whipped dogs. When we see the greatness of our enemies, when we see how much damage our enemies can inflict upon us, when we see what they can take away from us, what we might lose, our wives, our husbands, our children, our parents, our homes, our businesses, yea, our life, then our courage drains away. It slips away. And we whimper off like a whipped pup. If we are filled with fear, we will not follow God the way we are called to follow Him. We will not. But look at Caleb. He was brave. He had courage. He was not a bit afraid, not even of the giants. Listen to his courageous words. Let us go up at once. He didn't say, well, let's talk about these giants. Let's form a strategy. Let's figure out what we can do. No, he says, let's go. Let's go at once. We don't need to wait. That's courage. He said, they are bread for us. They are bread for us. The 10 evil spies said, the land will eat us Israelites up. Caleb says, we will eat them up. They are bread for us. Yes, these giants. We will eat up these giants. That was his courage. He had that courage because he had the faith. Faith and courage go together. If you don't have faith, you won't have courage. If you have faith, you will have courage also. And that's what we need. We need to be brave. We need to be courageous. Don't be paralyzed with fear and terror. But be like Caleb. Let's go! Let's go! Let's eat them up. They are bread for us. Here's what the Bible says. Proverbs 28, verse 1. The wicked flee when no man pursueth. But the righteous are bold as a lion. Are you bold? Like a lion. In the third place, notice that the children of Israel had a spirit of dissatisfaction and complaint. They were unhappy with their situation. So unhappy that they wept all night. Think of that. After hearing this report, they went to bed and they wept all night. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night, and all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. They wept and they murmured. Does that sound familiar? Have you ever been in a situation where you just threw yourself on the bed and wept? Because you are so dissatisfied with what God has sent to you? Do you hear yourself complaining? Murmuring? We all do at times. That's our sinful nature. We complain within ourselves. We complain to our wife or our husband. We complain to our parents. We complain to our minister. When we are that way, we are not following God the way we should. Caleb did not murmur and complain. Caleb did not go to bed and weep all night. Caleb rejoiced. Caleb was happy. He was not only satisfied with how God was doing things, but he rejoiced in the way that God was doing things. Can't you hear the joy in his voice when he says, "The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land"? Exceeding good land. You see, he didn't dwell upon the giants and the walled cities. His heart was fixed upon God and the promises of God. God was giving him a home. God was blessing him. God was leading him into the promised land. That's what he was looking at. And that's why he was happy. And that's the way we should be. We should be happy. We should be filled with joy. Oh yes, we could dwell upon all kinds of evil. We see it all about us. But dwell upon what God is giving to you. He's saving you. He's forgiven you of your sins. He has a home all ready for you. When you die, you go to heaven. And at the end of the world, you enter into the new heavens and the new earth and live with God forever. That ought to make you happy. That ought to make me happy. That's what we need. Faith, courage, and joy. If we are to obey God, stand against sin, even in the midst of opposition. And that is the way of blessing. Great blessing. Notice, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Caleb, because he followed God fully, inherited the land when all the others his age did not. All the others his age, except for Joshua, died in the wilderness. But Caleb inherited the land. In fact, he inherited the very land that he had spied out. And you know what land he had spied out? The land where the giants were. Caleb inherited the land where the giants were. And you know what he did? After wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, he's now 80. 80 years old. When he inherits his possession in the land, and he has to drive out those giants. He's 80 years old, and he has to drive out those giants. But he does. He does. By the grace of God and the power of God. he received his inheritance. And his children. His children. And that will be true of us too. In the way of faithfulness to God, we enter into our eternal inheritance. We win the victory against all of our enemies. We inherit everlasting life and live with God in His home in peace and contentment forever. And so do our elect children. You see, someone who follows God with all of his heart, he shows by his example the way to God. His children see that mom and dad are serious about this God thing. They're not just going through some motions, but they mean what they say. Their heart is in it. And I can tell you, that's the one thing that is the most important in leading our children to God and to His truth. If they get the least little bit of a hint that you are not serious, that you're just playing games, it's all over. They don't want anything to do with it. That's why it's so important for us to follow God wholeheartedly. Then our children will also follow God. And they will enter the promised land with us. Follow God. Not as the children of Israel who died in the wilderness. Not as Solomon at the end of his life. Follow God the way Caleb followed God. With zeal. With sincerity. With your heart. Because you believe God. You're not afraid of your enemies. You have the joy of salvation in you. Amen. Gracious God, our Father, we thank Thee for Thy holy word. We thank Thee for the example of the godly Caleb. We pray, Father, that Thou wouldst give us the grace to follow Thee as did Caleb. We know that we cannot do this of ourselves, O Lord, only as Thou dost give us the grace. And so we pray for that grace. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.